Please rise.
Our text this morning is the epistle lesson, as you have heard read from the book of 1 Corinthians. And our theme this morning, Behold, your King is coming to you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, during Advent, we anticipate our Lord's coming, especially His second advent on Judgment Day, as you heard about last Sunday, by the way. Yet on this, the first Sunday in Advent, our intro perfectly proclaims for us the theme of our sermon and the theme of the entire Advent season. Behold, your King is coming to you. From the Holy Gospel, we're reminded that our King did come. He came to His people of old, riding on a donkey. Yet He was not welcomed by all. Just as there was great joy, there was also fear and anger. We, His dear brothers and sisters, we must never, ever fear His return. St. Paul reminds us that God has made us ready. Ready to meet Him on the last day by the gift of His only begotten Son, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Our text this morning was written to a congregation that was totally unprepared to meet their King at His revealing. This new Christian congregation at Corinth had many, many issues. There were schisms, there was strife, there was false doctrine, there was superstition, and worst of all, there was abuse of the Lord's Supper. Even so, Paul reminds them that no one can make oneself ready to meet their King. God has prepared them, just as God has prepared you and me, by grace alone, through our Lord Jesus Christ. As you read and reread our text, the epistle lesson this morning, here on your insert, please note Paul's repetition of Jesus Christ. In the original language, it's written Jesus the Christ, emphasizing the fact that we are who we are through Jesus, who is the Christ, and through Him alone. You should also note that all the Greek verbs that are used throughout this text are all passive verbs. Well, what does that mean, they are all passive verbs? Well, for instance, verse 4, was given you. Verse 5, you were enriched. Verse 6, was confirmed among you. Verse 9, you were called. All of these are passive verbs, underscoring the fact that His gifts of grace were freely given to you. In other words, the Corinthians and each and every one of us have nothing to do whatsoever with their or with our salvation. This new Christian congregation did nothing for their salvation. And in light of all of their problems, how in the world could they? Yet, Paul tells them that they are lacking nothing because of what God has done for them and freely gives them. Therefore, we are ready, and because of what our Lord has done, we have been made ready because He has given to us and He has worked everything for us. Dear one, left to ourselves, we only make a mess of our lives. You know that, and I know that. The Corinthians were just like us. They argued amongst themselves. They were jealous of one another. They abused God's gifts, not only the sacraments, but all the gifts that the Holy Spirit had given them. Paul wrote and said, "Some have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly." And then Paul warned them, "Some of you have become arrogant. Shall I come to you with a whip?" All too often, you and I deserve a whipping from our holy and just God. We all agree with Isaiah in our Old Testament lesson this morning. "We continue to sin against thy ways. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean. And like the wind, our sins sweep us away." How can we be made ready to meet our King? Dear one, God has made you ready to meet your King. As you have heard, St. Paul repeats this. He repeats our Lord's name over and over and over again. He does not want them, and he does not want us to forget whose we are and all that we have as Christians. And all of this comes from Jesus alone. Only our Lord gives us the gifts of God's grace. Since only Jesus shares God's nature intimately. After all, Jesus told the Jews, and he tells us in the 10th chapter of St. John, "I and the Father are one." Jesus, the eternal Son, came into our world and took on human flesh. He was incarnate and born of a virgin so that he could be your Savior from sin, death, and devil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, true God and true man, has earned for each of us all the gifts of God's grace. True God and true man, he has done this for us, and he has brought peace, true peace, between you and your Father in heaven. In other words, the war that we declared against God because of our sin, Jesus has taken onto himself, and he has declared to the Father that peace has now come. And Jesus is giving you that peace freely by his grace. Dear one, you are no longer at war with God, and God is no longer at war with you. You have peace in Christ. The Father has given us all the benefits of our Lord's victory. He does not withhold anything from you. He also calls us into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. How has he called you into fellowship? This is the reason why the font is where it is, to remind you that here at the font, you have been called into fellowship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have been united with our crucified and risen Savior. In his death, you have died, and in his resurrection, you too will rise. Even so, spiritually, you have risen in your Lord Jesus. Through faith and through faith alone, each of us enjoy all of God's gifts of grace. And not only that, we actually live in his kingdom this very moment. Now, we have all noted the passive verbs that Paul used in our text this morning. It is the Lord who gives. It is the Lord who gives and gives and gives. And it's we who freely receive and receive and receive. And not only that, God continues to give to you generously. You have been enriched in every way, as he wrote to the Corinthians. And as he writes to you here at Shum this morning, you have been enriched in every way, especially in all speech and all knowledge, because of our Lord's victory upon His cross, the gifts of His grace, the forgiveness of sins, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, has been made ready, and His glorious return. And when He does return at His glorious return, we will meet Him without fear, because we know what He has done for us. Since we know that He will come, He will come not to condemn us, but to give us life eternal. This is His promise. And it's the very promise that we spoke in our intro this morning. If you have your insert, take a look at it. The very first line of the intro. We can actually read it together. Are you ready? Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Not only are you ready, dear one, not only are you ready to meet your King, you are ready because of His promises, which He continues doing for you. He continues to provide for you everything that you need in this body and life. Now, sometimes it may not seem that way, but He does. Before our Lord's first advent, think about it. Before Jesus came, born of a virgin and laid in a manger, man lacked everything before God. We were aliens before Him, as Paul wrote in the book of Colossians. God did not know us. We were aliens before Him. We were outside of His kingdom. Our just wage was death, eternal death. Yet, for Jesus' sake, Paul happily writes this morning, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait. We still enjoy the gifts of grace, the greatest of which is faith and hope and love. In our Lord's Supper, Jesus reassures us again and again and again that all of His gifts are ours as He seals His grace and His peace by giving us His body to eat and His blood to drink. He promises to keep us faithful in the one true faith to the very end. If our faithfulness depended on our own wisdom or our own strength, we would surely lose our salvation. Yet Paul reminded the Corinthians, and he reminds each of us, do not deceive yourselves. The wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Dearest, rest assured, God works in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, through His preached word and through the Blessed Sacrament, to keep you strong to the very end. Through word and sacrament, God keeps you firm in the confidence that you are guiltless. You are guiltless, as you see there in verse 8. Now, another way to say this is that you have been declared not guilty. Notice it says that you are guiltless, that you are not sinless. We are sinners, but because of what Jesus has done upon the cross, we are not guilty. We have been justified before our Father in heaven by the shedding of holy, innocent blood, the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, that takes away all your sin. No longer are you a polluted garment. But when you dip your robe into the blood of the Lamb, it comes out pure as the driven snow. That's the promise of Jesus, and that's what He does, and that's what He will continue to do until the second advent. So in conclusion, through faith in Jesus Christ, we have no fear of our King. We have no fear of the great last day, we have no fear of judgment day, knowing that He has already come into our world as our Savior. He has also come into your life as your Savior, and actually lives in and through His Word and His Blessed Sacrament. You have been made more than ready, dear one. You have been made more than ready to meet your King, since you know that your Lord and King will sustain you to the very end. And that's why you're here this morning. You are being sustained this very moment. You see, the Lord does keep His promises. And today He lovingly reassures each and every one of you that all your sin, each and every one of your sins, are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.